Hello.
Oh, I speak a little bit louder. Hold on. Let me see this here. Is that no? I'm bad. Is that good? Is that better? Can everybody hear me like this? All right, good. I'm so much. I'm Italian. I'm loud. I speak with my hands. All right. Is that better there? Okay. Good. Fantastic. Thank you guys so much for showing up. And Katie, thank you so much for having me. I really truly have a mission to make a change in this community. And it feels so good to have a relationship like Whole Foods, whose brand is different. And Atlantis's brand is different. When you hear the information that I'm going to talk about tonight, it's not going to be some of the normal stuff you think about when you hear about weight loss, or when you hear about life, and when you hear about eating. So when Katie and I were starting to talk, she's like, "Yeah, I want to put a a series of speaking together where we can bring the community together and really make an impact in this community and starting to change the way that we think about health and the way that we think about food." Because, the assumption, which I know a lot of Americans, a lot of people have, is that when you see a juice carton with an orange on it and then a straw right through it saying this is just as good as eating an orange, a lot of people think that drinking orange juice is getting a fruit. Or when you look at the side in the front of a package and you see, has 17 servings of fruit in it, whatever the heck it is, and you're drinking it and you think you're getting 17 servings of fruit. You're getting the sugar from all of that fruit, but not really 7 servings of fruit. So it's really, really good for me to see a community and start to build a tribe of wellness warriors that are starting to think differently. And where are we here? Yeah. So when we put this together, when I talk about weight loss and when I talk about anything, I always talk about in dimensions of different types of stresses. And we're going to be covering a whole bunch of them. Like Katie said, we're going to talk about organizing your life. We're going to be talking about eating paleo or exercise. How much exercise should you do? Tonight's talk, what I'm going to do is I'm going to review you. It's going to give you a big overview of what's to come in the next 5 weeks. And then each one of the individuals that are coming will dive down in each one of the topics. So I want you to take away the steps tonight, because when you're going to start to think about your health and your weight loss, you're going to really start thinking about it a lot differently, because weight loss is not just eating right. And I believe, and Katie and I were speaking the first time we had started having our meeting, she's like, I know I work at Whole Foods and I love the Whole Foods brand, but most of it is where? It's right up here. It's upstairs. 60% of it is upstairs. And because the number one defining characteristic of your health and well-being is your belief system. Why is that? Because your beliefs drive your actions. So if I wake up this morning and I have a glass of water, or I wake up this morning and I have a glass of milk, right? Those are two different beliefs that are driving that. One of them is, I want to wake up, I want to get hydrated, I want to start the day off like that. Another one is, I got to get milk in my system, good strong bones for calcium. Well, you have two people with two different beliefs, but they're driving a very different action. And that's ultimately what it's all about. We live in the United States of America, right? And guess who defines your belief system? The people around you. More importantly, the 5 people you surround yourself with are most instrumental in defining your belief system. So we live in the United States of America. And as of September 2014, where do you think the United States ranks on the 50 healthiest countries in the world based on life expectancy? Lou? Well, here we go. This is based on life expectancy. 51. We don't even rank on the 50 healthiest countries in the world. So what does that mean? That means that the people that are defining your beliefs, your fathers, your brothers, your preachers, your teachers, TV, you know, coffee, head sniffling, sneezing, resty, so you can rest medicine. You know, all of that stuff is what's defining your beliefs. And what do? First time we have a sniffle and we can't sleep, we take our sniffly coffee head, you know, or the butterfly lands on you. What's that? You know, Lunesta. So we're all, you know, she knew it, the butterfly. What color is the pill if you have a stomach problem? Purple, right? I mean, we're all programmed, you know, to believe specific things based on a culture that ranks 51. So when we talk about weight loss and we talk about, you know, defining our point A, we need to think about using different resources to be able to look for our health and wellness. And that's what, you know, the brand that we've created, Atlantis, it's a different resource. That's why I love the affiliation with Whole Foods, because we're a different resource. Are we market basket? Well, are we? I'm an employee here, right? So is Whole Foods market basket? Not that market basket is a bad place. No, it's a different cultural. It's a different culture, and it's a different group. Not that one's better than the other, but this is going to attract one sort of individual. Market basket is going to attract another. Atlantis is going to attract the wellness population, and some other chiropractic offices will attract the accident population. So it's different, because culturally we're trying to make a shift, and we're really trying to make things that people to think in on a different plane. So we're going to start talking about weight loss in a little bit of a different manner, just a little bit of a different flavor, and we're going to be talking about it in different dimensions. Because ultimately, we came a long way. It took us a long way to evolve, but in a very short time. I'm going to make this a shirt. Wouldn't this be a cool shirt? All right. So has anybody heard of body set point? What a body set point is have you ever eaten a lot of food, and then you ate a little bit of food, and then you ate a lot and then a little, but your weight always seems to average. And then, you know, and then what will happen every year, last year I was a pound lighter. Oh, you know, the year before that I was a pound lighter. There's something that's called creeping obesity. You will gain a pound of fat every year after the age of 30. You will gain a pound of fat in or lose muscle mass to compensate for that. And then you'll start to lose weight, right? And you'll start to lose weight, and then you're going to hit a threshold, and you won't be able to break through that. Let's say that threshold's 5 pounds. Let's say that threshold's 10 pounds. Oh my God, I can lose 10 pounds, but to lose the extra, you know, 5 pounds is so difficult. It's because your body has a set point. And that set point is equal to a whole bunch of different variables in your lifestyle. And it's the most closely related to your metabolism. So your metabolism is defining your body's set point. So if you want to change your body, let's say your body's set point is 180 pounds, and you're 190 pounds because, you know, it's the holidays and, you know, ate a lot, and then the Super Bowl and all that kind of stuff, and you gain a whole bunch of weight. You'll be able to lose those 10 pounds fairly quickly, but you won't be able to break past 180 because your set point's saying no. Even if you eat a little food, we're going to pack it on because this is what your metabolism is deciding is right for you. And then if you, let's say, bust through that, you'll gain that weight back very, very quickly, and you won't be able to keep that weight off because you have a specific set point. You can bust through that not eating, right? If you don't eat, guess what's going to happen? You're going to lose weight. But the second you eat, what's going to happen? You're going to be able to, you know, suck calories out of a flower to, you know, impact the weight back on. So the set point becomes extremely important. And that creeping obesity is when you gain a pound of fat after 30, because we start to lose our metabolism. You think about metabolism as the amount of energy it takes to keep your body going. So many different things affects your metabolism. What do you think exercise does to your metabolism? Increases or decreases? Increases, right? So when you exercise, from the point, like let's say you go out and you have a good workout. When you exercise, your metabolism is going to raise for the next 2 hours. So when you eat food, you're going to metabolize that food very, very, very quickly for 2 hours after you exercise. That's why it's difficult to go to sleep right after you exercise, because your metabolism is so fast. Your immune system is so fast. And your body core temperature, when your metabolism is going fast, is hot. So your body, your machine, picture like an engine running. That engine running is your metabolism. And the faster your metabolism is, guess what? The more you're going to utilize the energy. So picture your fat cells as like your tank in your car, right? Your gasoline. So the faster your metabolism is going, you'll start losing fat cells. Now, everybody's like, all right, cool. Let me just increase that metabolism and I'll be all good. Well, metabolism is you can definitely manipulate it, and you can increase it, and I'm going to show you how, but it really takes, when you start to think about this stuff, it takes a lot of work. It's not as easy as it seems, but if you follow the formula I'm going to give you and really dive into this stuff and truly understand it, you'll be able to get to any weight you want. And, you know, people often say, oh man, you don't need to lose weight. I used to be 205 pounds. And so I'm a nutritionist, I'm an exercise physiologist, and I'm a chiropractor. So I was 205 pounds. I knew I wasn't, you know, living the health that I needed. And then it came down to a point where I needed to get life insurance. So I wasn't living a great life. So I said, you know what, I'm gonna lose weight. So I dropped down to 190 pounds. So I talked to the guy, and he's like, you know, how much you weigh? He's like, you weigh 190 pounds? No, you need to lose a little bit of weight to get into the healthy category. And I'm like, what do you mean? I'm healthy. He's like, no, you're overweight. I'm like, what do you mean I'm overweight? I'm like, all right, what do I need to be in order to get health insurance? He's like, well, I mean, to get the perfect life insurance. He's like, well, you got to get down to 184 pounds. I'm like, all right, no problem. So I did my whole little thing, and I got down to 184. And then I took the test, and it was 185. And the thing came back, and it jumped up levels. And then I heard there was a super preferred level if I got down to 174. I'm like, wait a second. Or like 175, I'm like, this is ridiculous. I'm like, all right, retest me in 3 weeks. He's like, how much do you weigh now? I'm like, retest me in 3 weeks. So I did everything I know to do to speed up my metabolism, to eat right, because you got to do it through sleep, and I'll go through the formula. And I ended up losing the weight, and I never put it back on until this Christmas. I'm only kidding. My habits now, I habitually go gluten-free every January. So I know I give myself the permission to eat during the holidays, because I know January 5th, I'm going to be gluten-free, and I'm going to take myself off all the garbage. And then I also go gluten-free in January, and I do cleanses. So I have catches through every point throughout the year through my life, so I never get out of control. I also take my weight every single day. I think that is extremely important, because you want to know how food affects you. You want to know how the weekend affected you. You want to know how a glass of wine affects you. I guarantee you, if you have a glass of wine and you didn't eat any food and you go to sleep, you're going to wake up a pound and a half heavier, because you're going to be swollen, because you're going to not be in REM sleep, and you're going to gain weight. And you're not going to realize that you didn't eat any food. Well, holding in retaining water is a chronic epidemic in this country because of leaky gut syndrome and stuff like that. So there are different ways to decrease all of that weight. All right. Does anybody know how many calories are in a pound of fat? How much? 1,200. All right, we got 1,200. 3,500. All right, so there are 3,500 calories in 1 pound of fat. All right? So let me tell you something. The spring comes around. I see people walking Wakefield Lake to go out and get exercise to lose weight. I think that is so good. I think you guys are doing such a good job, right? But the problem is, you would have to walk 40 miles or 19 hours to burn 1 pound of fat. So I think it is so good that you're getting out there for the mind and you're getting the legs stretched and stuff like that. But the amount of exercise, the amount of just little walking that you'd have to, how many times would you have to go around the Wakefield Lake? So I know you're doing a good job. I really, really do. But you're not doing anything to change your metabolism. And yes, you might burn some calories doing it, but let me tell you, you're not going to lose weight that way. But I'm so proud of you. All right. I'm sorry. If those of you have not heard me speak, I'm a little cynical. I like to have fun. Okay. Now, I asked this question. I was given an ADD talk at a Reading Schools last night. And I asked same question. What is, sitting here right now, all right, what is the major energy source? Your body has three energy sources, fats, carbohydrates, and proteins, just to keep it simple. I'm going to complicate it a little bit later. So, three energy sources. What's your major energy source right now at rest? All right, we're going to do this by a raise of hands. Who would say protein is your major energy source? Raise your hand. Okay, we got one. Very great. Good job. Lone, I like it. On her own. With a big, lonely tundra. Okay, good. Oh, we got two. Two for protein. All right. Now, what would you say about fat as a major energy source? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 10. Oh, we got 10 coming in late. Nice. And what about carbohydrates? Okay, so fat wins out. Your major energy source at rest is fat. All right, so let's give them a round of applause. Very good. Thank you. I should have. So if your major energy source at rest is fat, then why the HE double hockey sticks aren't we all just getting skinny? Right? Now, and think about this. If your metabolism is on. Am I boring? No, I'm joking. No, she was yawning. I'm only kidding. But, sorry. So if your metabolism is going really, really, really fast, what's going to happen is you're going to burn rest while you sleep. I'm joking. Burn rest while you sleep. Okay? Burn fat while you sleep. Exactly. Thank you. Thank you, Wendy. So, now, those fat burners, quote unquote, really what they're trying to do is speed up your metabolism. You can do that through eating the right foods and having the right lifestyle. And if you speed up your metabolism correctly, you will burn fat all day long and you will just shrink. And that really is when you know when the pounds start coming up and your face starts getting thin and you see people shrinking, that is because they are correctly increasing the metabolism. They're just not dieting stuff off. Because if you try to diet stuff off, you'll lose it in different areas, but you won't lose it through this area, just because that's typically where we hang on to things. So our major energy source at rest is fat, quote unquote, in a normal situation. This is the way we were meant to be. This is the way that it used to be. This is not the way that it is anymore. Well, the major energy source is fat, so we're supposed to be breaking down our fat for simple sugars. Does that make sense? Because our body runs on sugar. We're supposed to break down the fat for sugar. Now, let's talk a little bit really quickly about sugar levels. Does anybody know how it, well, I just learned this, so I don't know, you know, it's, anybody know who Joe Mercola is? Mercola? Yeah, and so I was having a conversation. I was at an outdoor concert with Joe, so we were talking. And he told me this. This blew my mind. Does anybody know how much sugar your bloodstream can hold at one time? Take a guess. Let's do it in cups, tablespoons, teaspoons. What do you think? 2 teaspoons. That's a great guess. It's only 1 teaspoon. So your body can only have 1 teaspoon of sugar circulating in the bloodstream at one time. The difference, I need to be mobile. The difference between a diabetic and a normal and a regular individual is 1/4 teaspoon. This is absolutely ridiculous how tight the body has to regulate this. Yes, Kristen? Any sugar. Any sugar, yes. This is circulating sugar for the body. So, how much sugar is in a can of soda? Right, right. Where the heck do you think that goes? The body immediately needs to get it out of the bloodstream. So what happens is it just packs it away. And then what happens is your blood sugar level drops. So what do you have to do? You're gonna crave more food. So you're going to eat and eat and eat. And because we have food readily available around us all the time, what ends up happening is we eat, eat, eat. We carbohydrate load ourselves. And we never actually get the energy from our fat cells. We're always getting the energy from the sugar in our body. So our body's fat cell metabolism becomes very, very, very inefficient, and our metabolism goes, it slows down because we're eating too many carbohydrates and simple sugars. Does that make sense? So our normal energy source at rest should be fat, but because we eat food all the time, we're retraining our bodies to crave carbohydrates. So we eat when our sugar levels are low. We do not eat when we're hungry. So part of this losing 10 pounds in 30 days is being okay, and I know I'm Italian, and I know the culture I came from, but okay not to eat food. All right, it is okay to eat less food. No, you can't. You know, I listen, my whole life I've had food stuffed down my throat. I understand that's a little bit of a different thing, but it's okay not to eat food, because we're going to be talking about temporary fasting and different types of things that you should do once every 4 or 5 days. All right? Is this stuff fun? I love this stuff. And consequently, just to let everybody know, and I'll tell you this at the end, if you want this talk, which I'm talking, I'm recording it, and if you want the slides, because I see a lot of people taking notes, and we're also going to be giving you an eating guide and some recipes. I just put it on right before I came here. On my website, it's atlantiswellness.com. Down at the bottom of it, you'll scroll down, you'll see Whole Foods Talk Extras. Just put your name and your email address in there, and I'll send you all the stuff, okay? All right. So, how do we lose 10 pounds in 28 days? I usually say 30, but 28 days. It's a 28-day challenge. First thing we want to do is cleanse, okay? Now, when I talk about cleanse, you can cleanse anyway. We just specifically do a cleanse every January. This is the way we do it. First thing before you cleanse is you need to be less toxic if you cleanse. I love it. A lot of times people will be like, oh yeah, good in holidays, my life is crazy. I'm eating chicken fingers and chicken wings and Burger King, but I'm going to cleanse. I'm like, oh my God. Next thing you know, they're like passed out on a couch. You can't be toxic and cleanse. You need to be less toxic and cleanse. Because when you cleanse, and if you're really toxic, it's a very bad experience. Trust me, I know. Be very close to the bathroom. That's bad. It could be bad. It has been bad. So, first thing you want to do is you want to hydrate. How much water should you drink? Half of your body weight in ounces. Exactly. Good. Now, I'm a firm believer. Yes?
In one day.
In one day, yes.
Half of your body's
in ounces. So if you weigh 150 ounces of water, don't drink your body weight in water. That's bad. Yes. It'd be like hose in, hose out. That's bad. That's an enema. We don't want to do that. All right, George? Did I clarify that? Okay, good. Now your body absorbs water. Does it absorb? What does your body absorb quicker? Warm water or cold water? Warm water. Then why did I put cold water here? Thank you. Takes body energy. Remember, the amount of energy it's going to take for our body to function is our metabolism. So it takes energy to cool the warm the water up. Yes. Because it's way better for you. So you wanted warm water with lemon in the morning. Does a few things. Starts your metabolism, right? And it also starts the stomach juices. It's really, really good to do. So I would stick with warm. I drink warm water. If you're looking to speed up your metabolism and do a short term, let's say cleanse or a 28 day thing, you start drinking cold water. So it just takes more energy for your body to function. Does that make sense? But yeah, stick with warm water. Warm water is better overall. Right, and then what I do. Just because this isn't going to be the entire topic of this conversation, just because this rabbit hole goes very, very, very deep, is gluten-free. Has anybody heard that gluten is not so good for you? Okay. Does anybody think it's really good for you? All right. So we do this 30-day gluten-free challenge. We're in the middle of it right now. I have a gluten expert on the phone next Monday, so if you guys are interested, you can just visit that site, and you can always do it. Take yourself off of gluten for 30 days. That's why I tell people, listen, if you think it's good for you or you don't think it's good for you, the best way to do it is take yourself off of gluten for 30 days and just see how you feel. If you get any, digestion disturbance at the beginning, or, if I take myself off of oranges for, 40 days or 30 days, and then I eat an orange, I don't have an upset stomach after that. So that tells me oranges aren't bad for me. But if you take yourself off of something and oh my God, my stomach's in cramps, and then you add it in, it messes up your GI tract. It's not because you went gluten-free that messed up your GI tract. It's because that's not good for you. So taking something out of your diet and you have a negative reaction doesn't mean taking it out of your diet, having a negative reaction, is what was bad. It was because that product is bad for you. Yes?
Yes.
Yeah. Right. So especially when we do the gluten-free challenge, that is a very, very good point. Just because something says gluten-free does not make it a health food, right? Because a lot of the gluten-free products have way, way, way more sugar in them. Yes. So my process of going gluten-free is the salad bar right over here. So I go to Health Starts Here. Have you ever seen the little Health Starts Here symbol? So I go and I go to the salad bar, I put my greens in, and then I just look for the Health Starts Here stuff and I put it in and I leave. I mean, it's so easy. And I'm structured like that. So then I can just do that during the 30 days and it makes my life easier. So I'm here like 5 times a day. My wife thinks I'm crazy, but that's kind of the way I am. And then we do, in the middle of it, we do a 14-day cleanse. You can cleanse any way. There are so many different things out there. I like green cleanses or vegetable types of cleanses where you're eating a lot of green. You're eating. Ultimately, where do we get our energy from? Sun. Ultimately, we get our energy from the sun. So the more food that you eat, and we're going to be talking about this, we're going to be talking about something called a superfood. When I heard the word superfood, I'm thinking Superman. I'm like, what the heck is a superfood? But when you think about food, think about life healing food is energy from the sun. And the more energy that you harness inside really speeds up your metabolism. So the more live the food is, the faster your metabolism is going to process. All right. So this one right here is a big one. We need to start training our bodies to live on our fat stores. So what does that mean? Yes, you got to eat yourself thin, right? In order to do that, you got to. I don't care if you put a button in your mouth. Maybe that would be a good surgery. Button on the mouth, so you don't eat. You really need to start eating less food. Now this 16-hour fast, I can see somebody really upset right now. Oh my God, 16 hours. Oh, I can't do that. No, you can, trust me. This is what 16 hours looks like. What time do we typically eat dinner? 6 o'clock. Six, right? Don't eat anything. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 12. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 9 o'clock. So you go from 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock without eating anything. And the only thing you can put in your body is water. Preferably water with honey, water with lemon, water with cayenne, you know, like some pepper, that stuff, ginger. That stuff is really good for your metabolism. And that's all you can put in your system. You do that 3 or 4 times a week. Your metabolism will, your body alone will just start, you'll start shedding weight, because what's happening is your body's starting to just feed on itself, which is the way it's supposed to happen. Now, that's funny, right? I know, sorry to even think about it like that. But now, here's an issue that we have, that kind of comes from this, and you won't feel good. We understand that sometimes good things don't feel so good, right? Now, the foods that we eat, are they more toxic or less toxic than they were 20 years ago? More toxic. Where do we store those toxicities, do you think? Liver and where else? In your fat cells. A lot of these toxins are fat soluble. So when you start breaking down these fat stores alone, what you're going to do is you are going to toxify your system. So what will end up happening is you'll start to get tired, you'll start to get feverish, your other things, your breath will start to get bad. I mean, weird things, your armpits will start to smell. Weird things will start to happen because your body, in a sense, is detoxifying. The best way to offset that is to do what? Drink what? Water. It is extremely important when you start this process to drink half of your body weight in ounces of fluid. That is one of the most important things. And yes, I drink almost 80 to 100 ounces of water. You put that much water in, and you weigh yourself, you're going to be like 4 pounds heavier, right? So I recommend that you weigh yourself first thing in the morning, right when you wake up. Or even when you pee and then weigh yourself. So make sure you are weighing yourself at a time of the day that there are not many variables. Okay? Yeah. Good. Thanks. All right. So, go ahead. I love that. And you're shaken. Right, exactly. Right. I do not recommend working out on your fasting days. So fasting days, 3 or 4 days a week, yeah, just work out a little bit later. Yep. Now, let me tell you. So, okay, I'll give this to you. Now, that's an interesting question. So on Sunday, let's say I fast, and I go mountain biking, and it's very, very, very strenuous biking. I would choose to have a simple sugar while I'm exercising. Now, while I'm exercising, and the simple sugar that I use is honey. So I'm a firm believer in raw, local honey within 5 miles of your house, not heated. Oh, thanks, sweetie. Honey, sweetie, you know. No, thank you so much. We do sell a raw local honey. We sell a lot of it, especially for allergies during the fall. But I mean during the spring. But yeah, so I would stabilize my insulin levels while I work out, if you have to work out during the workout, right? So I'd have something there, maybe some honey water or something. But don't. But make sure you really do want to start starving yourself, because the idea here is to get the system more efficient in breaking down fat. So now let's go with that. When you are working out and your body doesn't metabolize fat effectively, you're going to hit a wall a lot quicker. If you want to be stronger and work out longer, you're really going to want to get that fat metabolizing going. So I would stress that sugar, that low sugar level at some points. You really want to monitor that. I would, you know, if I was involved with that, you really want to be close. I love that question because I do still fast on my workout days, but I know how to, I know kind of the line to draw. If I was just working out like strength-wise, I have no problem with it. But if I was working out very strenuously, you're limiting energy sources as carbohydrates. Sorry about that. Yes? I don't do them a couple in a row. I spread them out. I do them like I did one this morning. I won't do it tomorrow. I'll do it the next day. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, well, if you're working out at 9, one thing that you can do the night before, just eat earlier. And then you can eat. See, the only thing you're worried about is your blood sugar level dropping. All right? So when your blood sugar level drops, you just need to stabilize that. You can stabilize that with very little food in your system. The reason why we get so tired now is because our body doesn't know how to metabolize our fat cells. That's the problem to begin with. And so if you have a banana before you work out, I think we talked about that before, because I told you how close to working out I eat. So you have something that's simple sugar, your body will metabolize, you'll be able to get away with let's say, moving your dinner time to an earlier time. Yes? So the going, you need to stimulate fat metabolism when you have diabetes. I am not a diabetic expert in that field. To answer that question, I would have to bring in a few different resources for that, because I'll tell you, I've been temporary fasting only for a year. Everything that I'm a nutritionist, everything that I've been taught and told is opposite than what the new research that's coming out now. So I even though I know a lot about diabetes and how to work with it on a nutritional standpoint, I can't answer that question directly, because I just don't know enough about what that temporary fasting would do for it. Yeah, that's Wheat Belly's a good blog. So if you haven't been there, give it a shot. Wheat Belly.
What was the question?
The question was, what do you do with diabetes? And Wheat Belly, it's a I think it's an ND, and they just talk about a different way to eat, which I think is really good. That's a great resource. Thanks, Chris. And I mean, I think we all can agree, eating live, right? So I love this right here. Watch this. This is Circle of Life. This is the best Circle of Life picture I could Google. All right? Right here. So sun to the grass to the animal, and then you're the carnivore, if you are, some of us are, and then you eat meat, right? Has anybody ever heard the difference between farm-raised salmon and naturally caught salmon. Do you know what the difference is? This. Imagine if you fed the deer donuts, right? So farm-raised salmon are fed pellets, they're fed corn. So what happens is, ultimately, we're supposed to eat that live food, or the animal's supposed to eat that live food. So what fish graze on is algae. So that changes the omega complex in that fish, and then when you eat that fish, you get that harnessed energy from the sun. When you start to eat, you know, farm-raised animals and farm-raised food and beef, you're getting a different type of beef, a different taste of beef than a donut fed beef. You know what I mean? Because what's happening is the animal itself is healthier in that net transfer of energy. So the more you can be conscious about eating food that is live, and we're going to be getting into this in a few minutes.
What's up?
Okay. We're going to be getting into this in a few minutes. This is where everything is. You want to start eating live foods, or at least processed as you can, because what happens is you're going to get net positive energy. And this is really what I am so, so passionate about. I'm really, really passionate about superfoods and the energy from foods. Has anybody ever heard of curl-on photography? It's a photography that shows auras or shows energy. So when you take a picture of the broccoli on the left versus the broccoli on the right, the broccoli on the left is an organic broccoli. The broccoli on the right is a conventional broccoli. You see how much more alive and more energy is released from that. And think about when you eat that food, that's harnessed energy. That's harnessed life energy. You're going to, I mean, you want to take your health to the next level. You start eating this type of stuff on a regular basis, and they're going to have to give you a Valium to calm down. It's great. I mean, I have energy from the second I wake up to the second I go to bed. Now look at this. This is a cooked tomato on the left, and that's a raw tomato on the right. Just notice the amount of energy being emitted, and there's no energy rating on the periodic table that talks about this. So I do believe that the information that we have out there is incomplete, because nobody's talking about energy from food. We're talking about energy from food as fats, carbohydrates, and proteins. So I give a talk that's called, and all of these talks are on my website if you want to hear them. It's called Nutrition 101, and really just starting to talk about life from food and eating that life and really just harnessing that inside and internal. I mean, look at that thing. Imagine eating a cacao. I mean, look at that. Look at how much energy. That thing looks like I'm at the Museum of Science and this thing's like exploding. I mean, eat a cacao. Does anybody know what a cacao is? All right. It's the powder, it's chocolate. Not Snickers, not Hershey's, but it's chocolate. So here we go. Give me something that is high in antioxidants. Just throw something out there. Blueberry, right? Blueberry has an auric value of 63, which is a very, very high auric value. Cacao has an auric value of 966. Think about, I mean, a blueberry, squash the blueberry and start eating cacao, pow! You know, I mean, you want to put some pow in your cacao, you eat this stuff. And you can, and they have cacao over here. I mean, we have cacao. All right, so a great way to eat cacao right now is a powder. So you can make chocolate like Kristen just did, or what you can do is you can take the powder, put it in warm water, put a little bit of agave on it, a little bit of, almond milk, mix it in, you got hot chocolate for the winter time. Yeah, you snuggle in nice with your little nice, huh? Yeah, and your drinks, what's that? Raw chocolate has very little caffeine. All right? So that is, I think, one of the best. I mean, hot chocolate? Are you kidding me? With raw cacao? Louis, even you'll get younger. Even you'll get younger, my friend. Nice. All right, here's another one. Ready? You ready for this? Pow! Goji berries. How many people have heard of a goji berry? Right. You want to be jacked up on goji berries. You want energy? Get yourself jacked up on this stuff. I mean, the amount of energy that comes from these superfoods, right? These are regular foods. That's a superfood. I mean, that's crazy. So you know how I eat goji berries? I eat goji berries like this. I take a handful of goji berries and I put it in my water. Yeah, goji water, that's right. And you just let it sit there and you drink the water all day long. That is a great way to get these goji berries in your system. And guess what? Just by drinking that, your metabolism is speeding up because you're getting all this life energy in your system. You are putting nitrous fuel in that tank of yours. Yeah, no donuts. Look at this. See, look at her. She's assimilating. She's adding goji berries. She's adding superfoods together. Goji berries with dark chocolate. Forget about it. Yeah, that's awesome. That's a great way to do it. Also with my kids. So what I do, especially during my cleansing month, is I have a tub of coconut oil. And I'll come home when my blood sugar levels are low, and I'll take a scoop of coconut oil, and I'll drink, and I'll eat it. Because what's happening is very, very high in fat. Now what I'm doing is I'm retraining my body to fat metabolize, right? Avocados. I eat a lot of avocados around this time of year. Because what happens is that they're very, very, very high in fat. You do not get fat by eating fat. You get skinny by eating fat. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Go ahead, yeah. So, you know, you're looking at the meat of a coconut. You're looking at the oil from a coconut. You have coconut water. I like just the coconut fat. Because I'm looking for the thing that is the highest concentration of fat. That's why avocados are very, very good. Coconut oil is very, very good. The butter, like cacao butter, is very, very good because it's very, very high in fat. I eat a lot of almonds, a lot of nuts, a lot of cashews. You know, a handful of cashews has the active ingredient in one Prozac. So a lot of times what we do is I eat cashews and I just sit there like this. I'm only kidding, but it does. So it's cashews are very calming and soothing. So you know there you can really manage your life and your health through eating great, great food. And I love superfood. Yes. Yeah. No. Mm-mm. You know how much sugar is in a spoonful of honey? A lot of sugar, right? I'm concerned with complex sugars. A lot of cacao has very little sugar. Goji berry has very high sugar. But when you take that and you put it in your water, there's just when you're eating life, right? Think about this. To make a jar of honey, so a pound of honey, a bee has to fly around the earth like three times. There's a lot of work, a lot of potential energy. I just when you're starting to look at superfoods, sugar, fats, carbohydrates. The talk is why food labels are killing us, not nutrition one. That's right. I give a talk, why food labels are killing us, and I talk about that. You can't just eat food based on fat, carbohydrates, and proteins because we're not looking at the life in the food. And I think it's way more important to look at the life in how raw the food is than anything else. There's also going to be another talk given by Tom at Boston Sports Club. I'm going to allow him to dive into this a little bit more effectively, but this is in the physical realm, just because I'm running out of time, I want to tell you how to change your metabolism. And like I said, if you want these slides, you can go to the website and you can put your name and I'll send this to you. But so you take, this is a very, very simple formula to do. You take your age, you take 220, subtract your age, and you come up with a number. You take 80% of that, and that should be your max heart rate. So what you do is you have a heart rate monitor on, or you exercise, and you put your hand on that thing, and you just monitor that heart rate. And when you're exercising, you want to make sure you're in that range for 35 to 40 minutes, three times a week. Okay? So what you need to do is you need to exercise at 80% of your max heart rate, three times a week for at least 45 minutes. And here's the reason why. This is, I believe, the reason. This to me is the most exciting chart in the world, right? This is the reason I'm an exercise physiologist. This is everything to me. It's a very complicated chart. But ultimately, what this chart says is for the first 15 minutes of exercise, let's say we have three faucets, okay? We have a carbohydrate faucet, a fat faucet, and a protein faucet. In the first 15 minutes of exercise, you're turning on really fast your carbohydrate faucet. Your carbohydrate faucet, okay? So in the first 15 minutes, your major energy source of exercise is carbohydrates. That's why it's important to make sure your carbohydrate stores are up. From 15 minutes on, from 15 minutes for the rest of your exercise, your major energy source becomes fat. So it is extremely important to exercise past 15 minutes if you want to start engaging your fat metabolism. And from 15 minutes on, your major energy source is fat. Your limiting energy source is carbohydrates, which means that you will burn your whole system on fat and you'll keep pulling, but you need to eat carbohydrates because you can metabolize them at a slower rate. So that's why you need to eat sugar and goo and stuff like that when you're exercising, and your muscles will cramp, because what happens is you're burning down those carbohydrate stores. So it's important to make sure that you're eating well so your carbohydrate stores are up before you exercise. Yes, I knew it was going to complicate things. This is more important what you do the night, what you eat the night before, than that morning. Potatoes and rice too. Fruit, yes, sure, yes. Yep. Yes. So if you eat, you really want to eat within the first, half an hour when you work out, because your metabolism is at its fastest and your body is going to really want those nutrients. Okay? All right, good. This topic right here, I can talk on this one topic for a long time. This is really, I give this to kind of professional athletes. I sit them down and I say, this is what you need to understand about your training. But ultimately, for this talk, I really want you to understand that you need to exercise at a heart rate of 80% of your max heart rate for at least a half an hour, because you want to stimulate that fat metabolism. You do that, you will take your metabolism to a whole new level. And the problem is walking around the lake, although I so understand it's so good for you, but if you're walking and your heart rate isn't getting up, you're only burning calories, and you're going to have to walk 19 hours around. You're going to be walk a lot to burn 1 pound of fat. You increase your metabolism, you'll burn a pound of fat when you're sleeping. Not that much, but you'll just burn a pound of fat and you won't even know it. The last thing I want to go over, and I don't have much time. I'm going to go over this in like 5 minutes. This talk is also posted to my website. It's called How to Lose 10 Pounds in 30 Days. I go into this a lot more on that, okay? But on this topic, you want to relax. Our body is, we have a fight or flight system, which means when you're running from a tiger right there, what you're doing is that's fight, right? You're ready, your body is going to fight. And relaxing is a totally different organ system. So when you're running from a tiger, you need your respiratory, you need, muscles, you need your heart, you need a whole bunch of different systems. When you are relaxing, that's digestive system, immune system, reproductive system. So you cannot lose weight in a state of survival. So you cannot lose weight in a state of stress and anxiety. You need to be more relaxed and calm to lose weight. So meditation, believe it or not, even though, you know, for 38 years of my life, thought it was a waste of time because I couldn't sit down and I couldn't sit down and do anything. I mean, I'd always think about the next thing I had to do. But meditation plays a huge role in my life right now because it helps me calm down. And when you're in a state of relaxation after exercise, your body will, your metabolism just speeds up because you're in a relaxed state. There's something that's called cortisol. When your cortisol levels are increased, you're never going to lose weight. So none of this stuff, if you're a stress bucket, a lot of this stuff will only work temporarily because cortisol levels are going to put you in the survival mode, and your body's going to say, whoa, 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 I'm ready for feast or famine. So I'm feasting right now, I got to be ready for famine. So what will happen is when you're stressed, you can, like I said, eat a flour and you're going to put your weight back on. So relaxing is important. And then the last thing I'm going to touch right now before I open up for questions is sleep. Sleep is extremely important. It is likely it's definitely one of the top five things you should do, because the slower your metabolism, the less sleep you need. Do you need more sleep? So as you age, your metabolism slows down. Do you need as much sleep as a baby when you're older? No. Why? Baby metabolism is extremely fast, burning at an extremely fast rate. So what will happen is you will, by sleeping a lot, you will speed up your metabolism. An older individual's metabolism slows down, so you don't need as much rest. So the faster your metabolism, the more rest you need. If you want to slow your metabolism down, get less sleep. Your metabolism will be put to a halt. Okay? You should get at least 8 hours of sleep a night. I get 9 hours of sleep a night. And when you start to lose sleep, your metabolism will follow right along with that. Every single time. The people that have the most difficult time losing weight are the people that have a very difficult time sleeping. All right? So I want to thank you so much for being here tonight. Actually, you know what? Let me open up the floor for questions, and then I'll thank everybody for being here tonight. Does anybody have any questions? Yes. Say that again, I'm sorry. Yes, absolutely. Without a doubt. I have seen so many things change in people's lives by taking these steps. Yeah. You know, different things you can do, you know, fat metabolism, things to stay away from right there. But again, this will be on the, you can get these. And then last thing, speed up your metabolism. Those are different things you can do. Any other questions? Go ahead, Louis.
You get up and have a cookie.
Are you Santa Claus? It is Santa Claus. Hey, you know what, Louis? What you're doing, not for nothing. I don't want to. No disrespect, but your age is determining how much sleep you need. You want to be able to require more sleep. You need to exercise, speed up your metabolism, and then your body will sleep more. I know, my friend. Well, we can talk about what you can do.
Okay.
All right. Yes.
Can you talk about the hemp seeds really quickly?
Oh, I'm sorry. So, Katie has put together a beautiful packet for you. Another superfood is hemp seed. Hemp seed is on the superfood list. Hemp seed is extremely high in protein. Hemp seed, there are different sort, like complete sources of protein. So when you eat meat, right, let's say you eat meat, that's called a complete source of protein. Goji berry is a complete source of protein. Spirulina is a complete source of protein. Soy is a complete source of protein. And hemp seed. So hemp protein is some of the healthiest protein you can put in your system. And thank you, Katie, and Whole Foods for giving you guys hemp seeds. You can't plant them, though. Okay, Louie? You can't plant those. Yes, much better. Yes. You can. I just take them and eat them. I think they're nutty. They have a great flavor. You can put them on salads. You can oatmeal. You can put smoothies. I think, you know, a better person is the healthy living specialist. Maybe we can have her focus on that when she starts talking. Yes.
Why do they say get organized?
So getting organized, opening up your space decreases your stress. Eileen Reed is going to be talking about that. That has been, I have ADD, and that's a huge benefit for me. To once you open up your space and declutter your space, you'll decrease your stress, which will help you lose weight. Yes. There's no stupid questions. It is, yeah. I mean, I'm not a veterinarian, but I would assume that every living animal, you know, so no, I don't think it's a coincidence that we're the only mammals on Earth that drink another mammal's milk. Sorry, no, we're not going to go there. But yeah, so you kind of look at, yeah, they should eat live green foods too. There you go. Yes. So coconut oil, I just scooped, there's something that's called swishing. Coconut oil whitens your teeth also. Yeah, so if you take it and you swish it around your mouth and you just eat it. I just take scoops of it. I mean, you can cook with it, you can do anything you want with it. But I use fat to help stabilize my insulin level so I don't eat as much, especially when I'm trying to eat less during this cleansing month. I don't need coffee. Now, here's a very, very quick thing. Do not have coffee within the first hour of when you wake up. Okay? Coffee will speed up your metabolism. It will cause more focus. Don't have it within the first hour of when you wake up. Ask me why a different time. Or don't have it after noon. Okay? Not when you just wake up. I don't want any caffeine in your system when your adrenal glands are trying to pull you out of a parasympathetic state. So it's a little complicated, but just don't have it within the first hour when you wake up. Guys, I want to thank you so much. And Katie, I want to thank you for having me. This has been fantastic. And make sure that you get registered for the other speakers. This is going to be fantastic. And if you want the Atlantis Eating Guide and recipes, just go to atlantiswellness.com. Go to the bottom of the page and then just put your name and your email address in. Thank you so much. Yeah?